Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. I'm your host. As always, I'm super excited to spend time with you on Tuesday morning, which is when we bring you brand new episodes. Today, we're taking a little trip off the beaten path today. Today, my guest is a veterinarian, Dr. Jeff Feinman. He's also has a pretty extensive background in molecular science, but he's written a book and he's doing a lot of really interesting work with helping us understand energy communication. So this is going to be a little bit of a different conversation, but for all of you animal lovers out there, and if you know me, you know that I am all about my animals. You know, this is going to be a conversation for you. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Allison. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a veterinarian. You've been practicing for 40 years, but you also have a pretty extensive background in science, which I would expect. So tell us a little bit about your story and what kind of prompted you to do the work that you're doing now.
Sure. Thank you. Let's start before science. In 75, I started having my own weird symptoms. And they didn't get in the way of my going to college and becoming a molecular biologist in 79 or 80 or whatever.
Right.
And doing research and then going to vet school and walking the strictly conventional vet line. So I did what I was taught. I did what I thought was cutting-edge science, but the animals were getting sicker and getting, you know, more diseases at a younger age. And I realized that there was something outside the box of being a scientist by training. So I had an open mind. And one thing we weren't taught in vet school was about the energetics of the body.
Yeah.
And the fact that the energetics of the body is the root cause of everything we study in vet school.
Yeah, which is 100%. And the human body too, I might add. So,
since 99, I've been dedicated to studying that paradigm, building a framework that integrates with molecular biology, the exposome, but also conventional veterinary medicine, spirituality, indigenous wisdom, low research. I mean, it's all coming together. The blue zones, radical remission. Yeah,
totally. It's a lot. But really what started all this, because you and I were talking before we got on the air here, what really started all this was when you lost your own pet, when you lost your dog, you realized that you needed to dig in a little bit more. Is that right?
That was a big awakening for me a couple of years ago. You know, I actually started the book about a decade ago, but it was going to be a pure energy book about mitochondria and powerhouses and energy balance. But then Archie, who is actually Ashes of Bacteria, Archie got sick. Or actually, let me take a step back. The dog who lived with Archie got sick and died in 2020. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Archie was diagnosed with the same kind of kidney failure that she had. But Archie wasn't manifesting any symptoms. And I realized it was his joy and his happiness in life was protective of him. So he spent years just fostering and building up that joy and that protection. But then he had a gradual decline at the end of 23. And during his decline, he and I bonded very closely and in an intuitive way, such that now, even though he's passed, you know, I'm getting messages from Chi about.
I do think that our pets communicate with us in a number of ways. And it's very interesting. And to your point, a lot of it is intuitive. You know, we have to, it's almost like a feeling that we get. And then then that feeling helps us find the words and then decide like how to act, right?
And that is exactly what's called intuitive interspecies communication.
Into
I see
communication. right?
And if you Google IIC and the University of Saskatchewan, it'll bring up a seminar conference that I was at in 2023. Uh-huh. Brought together veterinarians, nature healers, yeah. Communicators, indigenous natives from around yeah. the world,
mm-hmm.
all talking about animal communication yeah. and intuitive interspecies communication.
Okay. So tell me then, in a nutshell, then just briefly, like a definition, what is this kind of communication? So correct me if I'm wrong, but what we just said it was is interspecies intuitive communication. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So tell us kind of in a nutshell what the definition is of that.
Oh, my goodness. All right. In a
Sorry
nutshell,
to put you on the spot.
That is, yeah. And that would be great. You know, I guess the definition is a remembering of uh-huh. what we have, a sense that we all have that allows us to connect. Mm-hmm. The energy that's all around us. And we know that energy is never created or destroyed, and that
right.
it's shared among all living beings and maybe
totally.
Even inanimate beings. And that I see really starts with remembering that, trusting that, closing your eyes, and doing what I call the resilience framework.
Yeah.
Resilience, as in when you go to the gym and you do your lat pull downs, but for me, lat is. Listen, accept, and mm-hmm. trust.
Yeah.
And if you listen, accept what you hear, and trust the framework of nature and of energy, then I guess that's can.
Well, energy yeah. is like, you know, energy, and I love talking about energy, but energy is this, it's all around us all the time. Energy, I mean, as human beings, we are energetic creatures in human form. We're always communicating with our energy. Like, for example, when you show up in a really bad mood one day, that's your energy communicating, right? Likewise, when you are super excited about something or happy about something, that's your energy communicating, right? But having said all that, we don't really notice the feeling in our body without thinking something, right? I mean, all feelings are vibrations in our body. It shows us what we're thinking. So help me understand a little bit, because I know this is your expertise. How do we do this to better communicate with our animals?
Well, let's do it with one very practical way, and that is start talking to your animals. Start talking to them. If you're about to leave, say, honey, you know what? I'm only going to be gone for a few minutes. Stay here and they will understand. And well, I've just seen this in action, because one of Archie's things after he passed was bringing me a new rescue dog that was a bundle of fears, anxieties, and she's unwound over the months basically by my talking to and accepting her
yeah.
for who she is.
Yeah. Well, there's no question that animals feel our energy. So when we're happy and loving, they will show us that back. And when we're not, like say when we're angry or when we've had a bad day or whatever, then they'll show that too. Because I know one of my dogs does that. When she knows that when my husband and I have had a bad day or there's something that's not right, she will actually go and cower and hide somewhere because she's feeling that. And I think animals have a much better read on that often than people do.
I could not agree more. So
yeah,
for sure. And that because they don't have their mind, their thoughts, they're wondering, is this real?
Yeah.
And they know what they feel.
That's exactly,
they know it, and they respond. And that is the basis of BEAM. Which is, BEAM is to me the core of self-care, because in animals, BEAM is a reflection of their energy balance and comes through as behavior, energy, appetite, and mood. And by that,
ooh, I like that. So BEAM is like an acronym. So B is behavior, E is energy, A is what?
Appetite,
and M is?
Mood.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about those four things then briefly. So let's talk about behavior first.
What would you like to talk about? Behavior manifests, just as you said, going off and cowering and being in the corner and not interacting with you. Trembling, seeming to be scared, wanting to go play with the dogs at the park. You know, that's all behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Human
beings can show us that too. Like if we're in a confrontation with another person, or especially in our today's political world, it's like if everything feels like it's charged up. So I think that's very similar to how humans interact too.
When I go to my, I mentioned that I have a chronic degenerative disease. And when I go to my doctor, the first thing he asks that I report is my own beam.
Exactly. So, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, he's using it with other patients as well, because that is a reflection not only of energy balance, but quality of life.
Yeah.
Are they having a good life? Would I be more upset that he's itchy or that he's happy?
Yeah.
And or that he has a red ear or that he's happy.
Well, last thing I'll say about this before we move on is, you know, I really think that, you know, dogs have animals have a way of communicating that to us. I don't think they can rationalize like humans can, like when you're having a bad day, you know, or when you don't feel good, or when you're recovering from an injury. They don't rationalize that like humans do. Humans will say, I'm going to lay low, I'm going to do this so that I get better. You know, I don't think animals necessarily can do that as well. And instead, they show us that they don't feel good, right?
And they do what is going to make them feel better. So they may go out and lie in the sun. They may just go around and do pranayama, you know, puppy pranayama. You know, we've got a bunch of snuffle mats, just little places where they can go on the outside and do their sniffing. So, yeah, I mean, those are all strategies that not only work behaviorally, but they also work via the mitochondria.
Yeah.
Physiologically, because all of the strategies we're talking about also upgrade the mitochondria and the function of the body.
Yeah.
We've seen kidney values resolve, improve. Mm-hmm. We've seen liver value. I've seen tumors go away in my own dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. So, well, the mitochondria, while we're on this subject, it's a fascinating subject for me, because in the mitochondria is, like, I think I was telling you this before we hit record, and for people listening who aren't science geeks, just bear with me for a minute. You know, your mitochondria is a lot like a bank. And you think of what the job of the bank is. You know, the job of the bank is to hold your money, is for you to make deposits, is for you to be able to make a withdrawal when you need to, you know, or offer like whatever various kind of product is going to help you with your financial goals, right? So when you think about it in that sense, the mitochondria is like the energy bank in your cell. You can take a withdrawal out when you need it. You make a deposit when you need to do that. And it just kind of like stores it, right? So it would stand to reason that whatever we can do to make our mitochondria behave better and act better is going to help us energetically, which is the E in your BEAM acronym, right?
You are exactly.
Yeah.
And that's manifested as, you know, your dog not getting up to reach with the door or not walking as far as usual on the walk or lagging behind you instead of always being in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Energy is very, they're all very observable, but the most quantifiable might be appetite.
Yeah, totally.
They ate, because you can measure the amount of time before they eat. You can decide or see what they want to eat. Will they eat everything? Do they eat quickly? Do they wolf it down? What a dog does.
Yeah, totally. That's what one of my labs does. She is like all over her food. It's like, and it's what's interesting to me is that they know down to the minute when it's time to eat. Like their body clock is like better than people's.
They have awesome circadian rhythms because they're in tune. They're in touch with the rhythm, the magnetic pull, everything around us.
You know? Yeah. And that contributes to the attitude, which is the A of the BEAM acronym, right?
The E is the appetite.
Appetite.
It's the mood, which is
M the is attitude. The mood. Okay. Exactly. Got you. Okay.
Exactly.
So this, the acronym, the BEAM acronym is kind of the basis of your communication program now that you do. Is that right?
Yeah, BEAM okay. is the basis of everything we do, pretty much.
Okay.
Whether it's communication, whether it's dealing with diarrhea or ear infection or putting in our line of work, it's often senior years and the end of life when that becomes the most important that we're focusing on the BEAM and not on the physiologic things that are going on because they're always going to go on.
Yeah.
When my dog gets to be 17 or 18, which is the proper lifespan for a dog or health span for a dog, I wouldn't expect her being to be what it was when she was one or two, but I would expect it to be as good as it could be at 18.
Totally, 100%. Yeah, I get that. So then tell us a little bit about the communication program now, that this is the basis of it. This is something that you do with your patients, with people who are pet owners, people who've lost pets. Right? This is kind of part of the work that you're doing now in addition to your vet practice.
Actually, we usually refer, you're referring, I think, to professional animal communicators. And that actually we will refer out. We like to kind of be a master of our trade, not a jack of all trades.
No, I get it.
So, we try to train parents to communicate with their animals. I mean, you know your animal the best.
Yeah.
You will be able to communicate. You can communicate as soon as you can get off from me. You can go and talk to your dog and if you say, let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
They'll probably
know. Yeah, they know. I know. I often say a lot that dogs, like, they know exactly what you're saying. And what's interesting is when I don't want Carly, my lab, to know what I'm talking about, I'll spell something out like you do with a small child. So is it time to EAT instead of is it time to eat? And she still knows what I'm saying, right? But it's funny, though, how you say you don't think they know, but they know.
They know because it's also very evident that they know what you're thinking. So, you can spell it, but sometimes you just have to think it.
Yeah.
Now, Rupert Sheldrake has great research about how dogs know when you're coming home.
Mm-hmm.
The name of one of his books, he has something called the morphic field.
Yeah.
It's that energetic conscious field that surrounds us all, that connects us all. And that's how your dog knows to go to the window and look for you when you're just getting your car and coming home.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. So you've written a book, right? But the book's not out yet. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Let me just unpixelate myself. So the path to pet wellness is summary of everything that we discussed is going from mitochondria and what I call molecular individuality through scientific wellness, which is a paradigm of personalized, predictive, preventive, and participatory medicine, but ending up with C3, which is the conscious, compassionate communication method, which is us hitting with our pets and with all life and with ourselves self-talk and self-care is important. I bet
totally,
you know that.
100%. Yeah. I like how you said the 3 C's. I think that's something that I want to repeat for people listening. That's the conscious, compassionate communication. And I know we're talking a lot about how we communicate with our animals, but honestly, I think that's good advice to communicate in general.
Well, compassion communication is also a synonym for the form of communication between people that Marshall Rosenberg came up with. You know, nonviolent communication is compassion communication.
Well, because a lot of times I think in communication, whether it's with our animals or with it, when it's two human beings, I think a lot of our communication style is sort of dictated by our energy, right? Like what we were saying. And so if you come off as being demanding or, you know, condescending or confrontational, right, then the person or animal that you're communicating with is going to respond to that and reflect that back to you. But sadly, there are a lot of people in the world who that's kind of their main way that they communicate.
And I'm going to flip it a little bit. That is true. You know, we all encounter that. But a lot of them are pet parents. They have their beloved animal, and their animals are portals. They are doorways into that space presence that will allow us to pause and respond mindfully instead of, you know, react quickly and abruptly, which is what we're trying to, I think, do when we communicate skillfully with others.
Yeah.
And with our pets.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your best piece of advice? Last question before we wrap up. What's your best piece of advice for people listening who maybe haven't quite bought into this whole idea yet? You know, what do you, I guess what I'm asking you for is a little tip or strategy, a little piece of advice, a little something that people can walk away with that can help them better in this area.
Gosh, I have a lot. I'd say number one, read the book, because the book starts that with that framework that we all accept of mitochondria, of molecular mechanisms in the body. Mm-hmm. But it's also one of the foundations, it's breathing. So I really, really, really would love everyone that worked up or thinking too much to take five, what I call cohesive breaths, you know, just to get that energy balance back in line. So, five breaths in.
That's really good advice for anybody, you know, that it's always a good way to just kind of do a gut check on yourself. So, tell us, when is your book coming out?
The book is due out for Valentine's Day, February 10th. It's coming out. It's going to be in stores by 2/14. Pre-orders start in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to try and arrange people getting a free ebook when they order. So, I can say it's coming out.
Okay, great. I love it. And the name of the book was what?
The Path to Pet Wellness, Holistic Pet's Guide to Thriving Pets and Empowered Pet Parents.
Okay, I love it. I love it. So how can people connect with you if they would like to learn more about what you do and want to have more of a conversation with you?
Thank you for asking. And the best way is at holisticactions.com.
Okay.
At holisticactions.com, there is a free course that will ground you, give you all the basics of this information. And if you decide to be part of our community, then I'm on the forum, our forum every day, like five times a day, but otherwise Instagram, Facebook, you know, we're there, but not there.
So anywhere. At holisticcommunications.com?
It's just holisticactions.com.
Oh, holisticactions.com. Okay.
I'll put the one-on-one class in the show. Okay.
So that's your website, holisticactions.com. Okay.
Yes,
fantastic. Thanks so much for making time to share your story and the work that you're doing. I'm a big animal lover myself, so I'm all about what we can do to help better communication with our animals, because I personally, like I said, I think we can learn a lot from our animals.
I do as well.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
Fantastic. So
thank you all for your time, your energy. Yeah, thank you all for having me.
Yeah, fabulous. Fantastic. So folks out there listening, if what we talked about today really resonated with you and you know someone in your world who probably should listen to this conversation for maybe more than just the obvious. It's like I said, I really believe that our animals teach us a lot every day. And I'll often think that a lot of what they teach us is what they're trying to tell us, right? And a lot of what we talked about today was really about energetically how we show up and how we choose to communicate. And so if this has really resonated with you and you know someone in your world who you think needs to hear this conversation, please feel free to copy the link to this episode. We're on every major platform there is. Share this episode with them as a free gift from me, or you can come over to my site and write to me directly. And that website is www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and just write to us and we'll take care of it for you if you tell us where you would like it to go. This is how we've been able to build what I always tell people is the best part about the show, and that's you. We have the best audience in the world, I believe. Of course, I know I'm biased, but this is why we've been able to really do so well. And we've been on the air 6 years now, and we're very proud of that. So this is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care, your one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.